Morning, Poplar Springs. It's good to see you this morning. Hope you're gearing up for Christmas this week. I have a few announcements for you as we begin worship. Today is the last Sunday that we will have in-person worship for the next 3 Sundays following Christmas. So December 27th, January 3rd, January 10th, we are going to have online worship only. And we will not have Sunday school. And that is just to try to stop any spread that could happen after the holidays and everyone travels and coming back. So January 17th, we will be back, and we will be back in worship. We will be back with Sunday school. But for those 3 Sundays, we hope that you will tune in online and join us for worship. If you missed the Christmas concert last night, it's still online. So wherever you might watch our services, you can go online and watch our Christmas concert if you missed that last night. December 29th is still the last day to turn in any receipts or PayPal or tithes to be counted for 2020. So if you have any of those things you need to turn into the office, make sure you do that by December 29th. That's the Tuesday after Christmas. This is also the last Sunday we will not have Andy in the pulpit, and so I want to go ahead and introduce our speaker for today before we begin worship. This is Reverend Wesley Smith. Most of you probably know him, have seen him around. He is currently the Director of Missions at Three Forks Baptist Association in Watauga County. He was formerly the associational missionary here in the Greater Cleveland County Baptist Association. You probably know him from there. And he also was youth minister at Sandy Run Baptist with Andy when Andy was pastor there. And I told him, I said, I'm surprised you're still in ministry after that experience. But he said Andy's the reason he's still in ministry. So we're glad to have you with us today, Wesley. Thank you for coming and blessing us. We're looking forward to your message this morning. And speaking of a special message, we have a special message for you right now.
Whenever you are ready.
Good evening. Poplar Springs. Well, good morning, Poplar Springs. It's good to have Roger here today. He risked his life to come over to our house to tape this, to get this video. We're meeting you today from the east wing of the Oliver Estate. This is where we entertain guests, and in the west wing we sleep. So we're glad you're here. Roger, as I said, has risked his life. He has a chance of catching coronavirus and Parkinson's by coming here today, so we're concerned about that, but it's great to have him here, and I pray your blessings on you. I pray for a blessed Christmas season, and you're in good hands today. Wesley Smith doing a good job today, and you had a great speakers over the last few weeks. Y'all have gotten spoiled. You've had good speakers, but I'll be back, and I'll be, if you read the newsletter, I'll be unprogrammed home on December 27th, so Andy Oliver's coming to you unplugged, so We'll be good to see you then. Look forward to seeing you. I may sneak in there if Kim will let me. I may sneak in Sunday morning. I don't know. This morning. I may be in the balcony. Okay, Roger, we're good. Merry Christmas, everybody. I love you and I miss you.
Today on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we light the Christ candle. And as an English teacher, there is always some sort of poem that goes along with these things. And I can't help but think of Longfellow's poem that I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day is based off of. And on the last stanza, he says, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." And Longfellow is writing in the midst of the Civil War as his son has gone off to war, and he is reflecting on this dark time in his life in the midst of the Christmas season. I think that many of us can relate to that this year, but we are still in the Advent season. The manger will still be full. The star will still hang in the sky, and peace on earth, will continue to prevail. Throughout the season of Advent, we take the time each service to light the four Advent candles representing hope, love, joy, and peace. Today, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord, we light the Christ candle. As it shines this morning, we remember that the light of Christ is bright enough to dispel the darkness of this world, and that this same light lives in all of us who proclaim him as Lord. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns.
Let every heart Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody today, and we've got a number of prayer requests that I'd like to mention. Most of them you're probably aware of. The first one that I've got on my list is Phyllis Wilson and Ray. And it appears that Phyllis has been moved to hospice, and so that family will need definitely our prayers. Susie Buckner, I assume that most everyone's got the news on Susie, and not only will Susie need our prayers, but also Clyde, because that'll be a tough situation for them. Evan Lemons and his family. Evan's been in the hospital, and so if not forget him and his family. A 7-year-old nephew of Linda and Jim Kay, Johnson, the 7-year-old is in the hospital in Florida with some concerns. Please remember them. These are not members of the church here, but it's been requested that the Terry and Green families, mom passed away this morning, and so they'll definitely need the prayers. You know, I'll stop right here and say that over the last few years, when I've talked to different people, that I still have a lot of pharmacy customers that I talk to all over the Southeast, and a number of them tell me about problems that they have. And I'll tell them that we're going to add them to the church prayer list here, and how active this church is, and how we celebrate when God does good things, and how we are concerned for those families, even if they're not members here. And so there's a few others. David and Susan Morrison up in Elkin, North Carolina, has got some very severe, David has some very severe health problems, and we'd ask that you remember him and his family. Billy and Barbara Cameron, they're down in the Sanford area. They've requested that we pray for them. They're the same thing. They're dealing with some life-ending situations, and they need our prayers. I'll also mention the discussion around the Advent candle and the hope and love and joy and peace. And all through December, there has been a number of sermons and conversations around these topics and the lighting of the candle. So I'm just going to ask that during the prayer time here that we think about all those things, and we think about this year, and everybody in here knows how difficult 2020's been, from race relations to COVID, to police officers that are dying and have died and that put their lives in risk every day when they leave home. People without jobs, we can go on and on and on talking about all these things. But I would ask that, and this is as much to me or more for me than it is anybody else in service this morning, but while we're praying, think about everything, the challenges this year, and God is still on the throne, and he's still in control, and we've got a lot to be thankful for. I've got a lot to be thankful for. And so, as we pray, think about that, and I want to do my best to go into this Christmas season happy, and not down and out, and not, because as bad as this has been, it's going to be better. And like I said, God is in control. And let's try to remember that and enjoy family and friends and Christmas for what it truly is. Lord, as I come to you in prayer this morning, I'd ask that, like the other prayers before this one, that you know the need of each and every person, each and every family, the spoken and the unspoken prayer requests. that you would lay your hands on all of these folks and these families, that you'd lift them up and let them know that you are still in control and things will happen according to your will. Thank you for this Christmas season. Thank you for what you did for us and the resurrection. And help us to always put you first in our lives. Thank you again for all the blessings we have. And help us to, as hard as it is sometimes, to celebrate you and salvation. And always realize 365 days of the year what you've done for us. And all these things I ask. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Well, good morning to you and to those who are joining us online. It is an honor and a privilege to be here with you today. When I announced that I was transitioning to serve in the Three Forks Baptist Association, shortly after that, Andy texted me and he said, "You're still coming on the 20th, right?" And I said, "Yeah, wouldn't miss it if you'll still have me." It's an honor to get to preach the Sunday before Christmas, but it's also good to get to kind of come back even after only being gone just a few weeks. But I continue to say thank you for your prayers for myself and for my family as we have transitioned in ministry, more so my recent trends than theirs. Bonnie and Avery have been up in the Watauga County area for about 16 months, and so really as much for work as for our family, as after 16 months we have begun to try to figure out what it means to live in the same house, which has been very much so interesting, to say the least. But it also gives me a reason to come back home, which my mom and dad very much so appreciate. So thanks to Andy for still allowing me to keep that invitation. Last week, I had the honor and privilege to preach at one of the first churches that I've been able to serve while being there, a little church out in Zionville, North Carolina, called Union Baptist. Beautiful little white church surrounded by these mountains. And I was describing that to some folks this morning. They've been able to have outdoor drive-in services since March. Now, think about how remarkable that is to have good weather every Sunday since March in the mountains. And it has just really been a blessing for them to be able to do that and have had some wonderful crowds. God is doing some really cool things there. But I say all that to say that when I stood before them, I told them that the reason that I was there on that porch, because I'd have never thought that I would ever be preaching on the front porch of a church in the middle of the mountains, was because I love my wife. I'm here this morning because I love Andy Oliver. And Andy has taught me so much, and I am so thankful for Andy and for Kim, as I know that you are as well. And I know that they appreciate your continued prayers and support, but I, again, am thankful to be here. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You know, one of the cool things about this time of year is as we grow older, is we get to be able to reflect. And you know, over the past few months, as I have begun to reflect on the Christmas story and the themes of Advent, I began to ask myself, Advent hasn't always been something that I remember in my life. We celebrated Christmas at our church. We read the Christmas story. There was always the Christmas play. But then I remember this one year, and I don't know who did it. I want to imagine that it was the music person that did it. But this wreath showed up in the sanctuary with these candles. And I thought, well, this is a little strange. But then each week we began to light these candles and talk about these wonderful themes. And really what Advent means to me is the ability to slow the season down. And I hope that that is something that you've been able to think about. You know, as a child, we want to rush right straight to Christmas Day. But really, as we grow older, we realize that there's a lot more to this. That there is a reason behind why we celebrate Christmas. I mean, really, there's a reason behind why we celebrate anything. Why we are here today is significant to the reason that we celebrate. You know, every Sunday that we gather, we celebrate the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And that's really who we are as followers of Christ, as believers in Jesus. We celebrate this every Sunday. But this time of year is unique, for we are able to really focus on the beginning, the reason that Jesus came. And for me, the season of Advent was able to kind of slow that down, to think about hope and joy and peace, but then realizing, and even our faith too, but realizing that that center candle, that Jesus didn't just come to bring those things. Jesus is those. He is our hope. He is our joy. He is our peace. And today I want us to hear that really the reason that we believe, the reason that we know any of this is because of the Word. You know, as the traditional Christmas story is read, we hear characters like the wise men, which is a whole other theological point when we begin to think about how the whole nativity really is just a beautiful picture of something that happens spread out over time. But there's Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the angels. Beautifully told most of the time when we read the Christmas story in Luke and then in Matthew. But then we got this gospel writer named John. And John in his gospel elevates Jesus. You know, we really hear the Christology rise to the top in John's gospel. But when we read his gospel account of how Jesus comes into the world, most of us will scratch our heads and go, "What in the world is this guy talking about?" Because it's unlike anything else that has been written. But that's where I believe God wants us to go today. So let's look at John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 18. Now, I'm going to quickly go through all 18 verses, but I want you to just hang on and don't say, "Man, we're going to be here all day." But just hear now the reading of God's word from John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' And out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has he was Jesus from the beginning, John says, but that everything that is created, he created it." Now how wonderful to know that. Then in verse 9, we see, well, actually, I scrolled up a little bit too far. Hang on a minute. Verse 4, Jesus is life and light. John begins to stack up these things that help us see and know who Jesus is. Yes, we think about this baby in a manger. And I heard one sermon this week as the pastor began to think about, you know how it is when you see a baby for the first time and you take it by the hand and you kind of feel the fingers and you hold the hand and the hand is so small. And he began to think about knowing that those hands would be the very hands that would be crucified for us. So yes, this sweet baby in a manger is also truth, is also life, is light. John begins to talk about in verse 6, this one who would come to prepare the way, John the Baptist, is not Jesus, but makes way for Jesus' entry into ministry. Now, in verse 9, I think it's important that John makes a distinction about this light, Jesus. He uses the word true light. And you say, well, I wonder why he put that additive on it. Does that mean that there is a light that is not true? And I think that's something to think about. And you'll hear me say in just a few minutes as we get toward the end of our time together today, that's why it's important for us to know God's Word. But John describes Jesus as the true light. Again, Jesus became part of a world that he created, John says in verse 10, which I find fascinating. That Jesus enters into a world that he created, that he knows, that he left the heavenly realms to go for a purpose, for a reason, mainly because he was being obedient to the Father. Jesus comes as the only one that has the ability and the authority to make those who believe in his name sons and daughters. Man, I think that is something we have got to hang on to and celebrate. No one else can do that. Then not only does Jesus come into this world, but he comes in with the authority to say that you who believe and trust and know me will not only be redeemed and saved, but you will become heirs. Heirs with God. And Jesus is the only one who can do that. Jesus, the Word, became flesh God incarnate, the God-man, in verse 14, to dwell among us, to reveal to us the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, I can hear the words of Jesus himself in Revelation 22:13, where he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Man, that is so good. What comfort that brings us. To know that not just the beginning of time and the end of time, but the beginning of the day and the end of the day, Jesus is the author and the finisher. Verses 16 and 17, John begins to kind of unpack a little bit about what it means for Jesus to be both grace and truth. For you see, those who were hearing this understood the law, and they understood what it meant to break the law. But now one comes to fulfill the law. Jesus comes to deliver us from the law. He does not come to condemn us, but he comes to save us. John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Then John says in verse 18 of chapter 1 that no one has seen the Father except for Jesus. Jesus reveals the glory of God. John is the one who testifies even to this. John writes down in John 14:6 in the upper room discourse where Jesus is preparing the disciples for his departure. He tells us that Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John has beautifully written all of these descriptors of who Jesus is. But I want to go back and grab one piece of this that just has really captivated me and has really been stirring in me even for some time. The Word. The Word, Logos. You know, this word means speech in progress. And it also means Jesus. You know, Jesus and the Word are synonymous. We've heard that, we even know that. But I want to ask you today, and I'm going to ask you again, I'm going to ask you this a couple of times. What is your connection? What is your relationship with the Word? You know, for me, over the past 16 months, probably more so than ever, God drove me to the Word. You know, it was one of the first things that Bonnie asked me when she went to serve Valley Cruces School as their principal. She said, what are you going to do? I said, we're going to pray and we're going to get into God's Word. And that's what we did. Psalm 37 became real to us. Well, the psalmist writes, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He says, wait on the Lord. That comes from God's Word. What is your relationship with the Word? Over the past 10 months, what has God been saying to you through his Word? You know, I talked about slowing the season down. And I can't think of any one of us who want to slow down this COVID season. We all want out of this. And I get it. I hear you. But what is God saying to us during this season? You know, I have to know and believe that sometime from now, we're going to be able to look back and hopefully be able to see what God was doing. Because God's word tells us that God is working all things to the good of those who are called according to his purpose. Now that's hard for us in difficult seasons, because no matter what is going on in your life right now, this is hard, and I get that. But know that God is at work. Know that God is speaking. And how does he do that? He does that through his word. I could not imagine that 400-year span where there was no prophet writing. You know, there was a 400-year silent period. Man, that's got to be crazy. To think about that length of time not hearing from God, waiting on the Messiah. I think that was one of the things that was revealed to me when I think about how the Advent wreath really helped me through the Christmas season, or prepare for the Christmas season. That's what that word Advent means, is a preparation and a waiting. For too many of us, this whole story seems like a one-hour crime show. You know, where there's a crime, and then there's an investigation, and somebody gets arrested in an hour. Yeah, no, we're talking about a long time. And yet God continues to speak and to show himself to us. So what is your relationship with the word? A few years ago, I had someone confront me about a disciple-making process. They asked me, what was my personal disciple-making process? And I looked at them kind of cross-eyed. And I'm like, well, I do a devotion, and I kind of pray with some folks. And they don't know, how do you intentionally make disciples? If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission that Jesus gives us in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, how are you intentionally doing that? Not just baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I was like, well, that sounds pretty intense. And they introduced me to a disciple-making process and model that we call G3. And it's simply taking, and I say that funny, tongue-in-cheek, simply. You know, there are over 100 imperatives that Jesus gives us in the New Testament, imperatives being commands. There are over 100 commands that are given in the New Testament. And if you hear what Jesus just said in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, teaching them to obey everything, you're like, man, how are we going to teach people to obey over 100 commands? How are you doing with that, Wesley? Well, I'm learning to do that daily. But G3 takes these 100 or over 100 imperatives and kind of narrows those down to 10 distinctives. Now, these 10 distinctives are based on the 100 imperatives. So in other words, we're talking about these 100 imperatives, but these 10 distinctives kind of help us outline and line up what God is really trying to say to us in his word. I'm going to give you those 10 very quickly. Number one is surrender. Number two is sacrifice. Number three is listen. Number four is obey. Number five is abide. Number six is light. Number seven is love. And then there's serve, share, and reproduce. Now, each one of these 10 distinctives has a passage of Scripture that, again, go back to the imperatives, but help us unpack what it means to be a Christ follower. And you say, well, why is that important? I want to share with you two findings that were very alarming in the past several years. A couple years ago, Lifeway Research revealed that over 50% of professing Christians, professing believers in Christ, had no idea what the Great Commission was. Over 50% of people who call themselves believers in Jesus had no idea what the Great Commission was, where it was found in Scripture, or anything about it. And that's alarming. But then, just last week, again, Lifeway Research reveals a very telling and sad point for us as the church. According to Lifeway Research, more than 1 in 4 Protestant church attenders fail to read their Bible at least once a week. Less than half say they read their Bible more than once a week. In our society of literacy and Bible accessibility, this Bible neglect is concerning. The title of that article is Three Strategies for Cultivating a Biblically Literate Church, found at Facts and Trends magazine. So I began to ask myself, what is my relationship with the Word? How much am I in the Word? You know, that distinctive abide really began to help me realize what it meant to abide in Christ. To know that the only way that we bear fruit is by abiding in Christ. And that abiding in Christ means that I abide in His Word. We go back to the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God's Word is so important and should be very important in our daily walk and growth in Jesus. Just last week, I was able to worship with you guys the other night for your Christmas concert. Told Catherine it was wonderful. Just a great, if you haven't been able to watch that, I encourage you to do that. That's been, if COVID has done nothing else, there has been a plethora of opportunities for you to worship with your family online. Lots of great worship experiences that have taken place online and are very accessible. But one Wednesday night, I was a part of a church in our association up in Three Forks, and the pastor was preaching through Matthew chapter 2, and the title of his sermon was Don't Miss Christmas. And he was really nailing down the pride of King Herod and the pride of the religious leaders, even, that they missed the coming of the Messiah. But the more I began to reflect on that and to think about John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, I began to think, man, how many of us, 1 in 4 Protestant church attenders fail to read their Bible at least once a week. I'm like, man, there are so many of us that are missing Christmas because we've missed the Word. You know, and the Word is not just something that we know in our head, but it's something that we read and know and we allow to transform our hearts. That's what that surrender is about. That surrender means that I put up my hands and I allow God to do whatever He wants in me. And that's what He's calling us to do. Jesus came to be our hope, our joy, our love, and our peace. All of these being displayed in His Word, that being Himself. And I challenge all of us to be committed to Him by reading His Word, by allowing the words of God to change and transform us. Where are you at today? Would you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ? Disciple meaning discipline. Disciple meaning surrendered. Sacrifice. listening to God. If so, are we growing in His Word daily? But here's the kicker. Not just ourselves as individuals growing, but how are we helping others grow in God's Word? Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Jesus says in Matthew 28:20. My prayer for us is that we don't miss Christmas by missing His Word. God, this morning, we thank You for the opportunity to have been in Your house. God, we know that there are those that are joining us online, not just right this very minute, but later even into the week. And God, it's good for them to get together even in that format as well. And Father, we pray blessings on everyone that is not only in this place, but God, who may be watching this at any moment right now. Father, my prayer is that You would stir in us and that You would draw us to You and to Your Word. For God, everything that You have to say to us, both past, present, and in the days to come, You will do so through Your Word, through Yourself. But God, I know that there's people who are in this building and people who are listening to us online. God, they're wanting to hear from You. And God, I pray that they would know that they can. That You speak to us in and through Your Word. God, again, we thank You and praise You because You have come. You have revealed Yourself. You are grace and You are truth. But God, I pray if there's one. God, one who hasn't given their life to You, who hasn't started with the first step of sacrificing, surrendering their lives to You. Lord, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Father, that they would trust in You. Lord, that they would confess their sin and receive the gift of Yourself that You have given to us. Father, thank You for salvation and for redemption. But God, I pray that we would not keep that silent. Father, this is a wonderful time of year for us to share with others this great story. God, these things that You have done in our lives. And so, Father, I pray that You would stir in the life of every believer here this morning. God, that there would be a desire to talk about You. Lord, that we would seek out opportunities to engage in conversation about You and Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy and Your great love. Father, we know that any celebration that leaves You out this time of year is not Christmas. For Father, we know that You are truly the reason. But Father, to think about the fact that we too are a part of that because You came for us. And Lord, I pray that nobody misses that either. Father, again, we say thank You and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as we close, you do what God leads you to do, but be glad to pray with anyone. Or you just be obedient to the Holy Spirit this morning.
were not ordinary sheep. They were set apart, born to be Passover lambs. And when a spotless male was born, he was held on the manger floor, swaddled up just to keep him calm until his time. And the shepherd sang, "Wrap this one up, he is a lamb without blemish. Wrap this one up, he'll make his way to the temple.
Sing Gloria. Thanks to everyone for joining us today, and for Wesley for being here today. I'm actually going to ask you when I pray to go to the door so we can thank you and wish you a Merry Christmas. And don't forget that for the next 3 weeks, we will be together online. Will you pray with me? God, for all that you are and always have been, as Wesley has reminded us, for being light and life and truth, for being a gift and a sacrifice, for being here from the beginning and until the end, a lamb without blemish, as Sadie and Catherine were just singing. For all of these things, God, we give you thanks. Help us to put our trust in you that we may live in your love and joy in the coming days. Amen. Merry Christmas, Poplar Springs.